Dr. Tucker, we're really glad to have you here today. Let's begin with a quick introduction. Could you tell us some about yourself, maybe when and where you were born, where you grew up, where you got your degrees, what football team you root for, anything that you feel is an important thing about your life?
All right, be my pleasure. I was born in 1930. You know what was going on in our country at that time because you studied history. When I was 2 years old, my father changed jobs and moved to a little place in Alabama. The county seat and where I went to school was Greensboro. And my father's job was to be a supervisor of a fairly large cotton plantation with about 20 or more African-American families on that, working as tenant farmers for the wealthy landowner who lived 100 miles away in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where we moved to when I was 1.5 or 2 years old, and lived on that property until I graduated from high school and went away to the Army for a period of time. We didn't live in the same house. We were very isolated. As we called it, we were down in the woods or the sticks. We were in an area of Alabama that's called and is still called the Black Belt. That's a geographic name because of the soil. It's a fertile crescent from south of Tupelo, Mississippi, to south of Montgomery, Alabama, which is getting close to the Georgia line. The soil in many of the areas was fair black, and you can see the same thing if you drive Highway 45 south and go through Tupelo as if you were going to go to Mississippi State, and you'll see a town called Prairie, and you'll see a Black Belt also. But when we say that, nowadays people who don't know would think it's a slur on the population. It was a very large population because that land grew cotton quite well. It's no longer growing cotton. In fact, the land surrounding where I grew up is now catfish farms. My sister married one of the young guys about my age from one of the farms, which turned into a catfish farm. So I was really a country boy. I didn't have to work hard in the farming. I could work as I liked. That farm changed hands twice while I was there. Well, while my parents were there also. They later moved to live with an older brother of mine in Tuscaloosa.
Where was it you went to college?
I went to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, working part-time. I had just got out of the Army. I went in through the National Guard, as people do now, and we were activated for the Korean War. I was only in for about 2.5 years. My number did not come up, and so I, along with a good many more, did not go to Korea. So my time was totally in the state. I got to see a test of an atomic bomb, because this was after the end of World War II, but it was equivalent to the one dropped on Hiroshima. Wow, that was some experience. A large group of soldiers were located 7 miles from ground zero. We sat on the ground. They talked to us through the loudspeaker. We had been taking classes on atomic physics, all the things related to working with radiology as soldiers in combat. That was what we were studying. And my job was to go back and teach the men in my company some of that. That was quite an experience to see that. We even were trucked up to ground zero and walked around in that area and saw live scorpions running around. There were some animals that had gotten loose from the pens they were in. They were running tests. That was the highlight of my military war stories.
You mentioned that you got to teach some in that experience. Is that how you got interested in teaching in general?
I think so. Our unit had the assignment of training new young men. We were training them after they had finished the first basic training. and it was the second phase of the training in which they learned a particular military skill. And it turned out that we were related to artillery by the use of a fairly large mortar. These mortars were 4.2 inches in diameter. What we had to learn and teach was indirect fire, which if you study the history of the Civil War and the military in our country, the founding of West Point, you learn that artillery indirect fire was a major subject to study, and of course that's mathematics. I went away to school before we really got started with those young men who came in. And there were more than 100 of them. And I went away to school, artillery center in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. That was a very interesting experience. I really enjoyed it and came back. And so my job was called chief of fire direction center. And then we had the mortar crews. There would be a platoon of them. But I had to teach some selected guys how to do the computations, but how to read the map, how to operate the tools that were similar to slide rules. And we were interested in direction and distance were the two main things. However, there was the atmospheric conditions that affected the flight of those fairly large projectiles. We did most of our work out in the field, in the woods or out in the open, wherever we would set up, and we had to have good communications. So I really did enjoy that. That was like another whole year's work. Eventually then all of these people were drafted to fulfill a personnel to the war in Korea. They didn't refill us because the war was winding down. Finally, our unit was deactivated back to the state, which was Alabama. And so when I got back, you had to find a job. I found one, but it didn't pay much, and it wasn't very interesting. It was like inventory of equipment where a dam was being built on a river in Alabama for flood control mostly. I rode up to Tuscaloosa, and I had a brother who was living there, and he worked at the university after World War II. And so he was married and had a family, so I lived with him for a while and caught on to things that were going on, got kind of acclimated to the school, fell in love with Roll Tide. We had terrible football seasons the whole 4 years I was there. We had a great quarterback. His name was Bart Starr. There were two coaches in my period of time. The last year, we didn't win a single game at Alabama, not a single game. I went to all the Auburn games in Birmingham. I think we lost all of them.
Tell us about how you first heard about Union and why you wanted to come to work here.
I was teaching in a military school, junior college, in Barnesville, Georgia. Auburn participated in a National Science Foundation program of improving mathematics and science instruction. The year after Sputnik circled the Earth, the Russian satellite. So money was found to do that, and so there were stipends available, which is like a scholarship. I was able to go to school 3 summers, I believe, on one of those, and it was all mathematics taught by the Auburn faculty, the ones who were selected to operate that program. Men and women from all over the Southeast, from the Citadel to Monroe, Louisiana, Georgia, other places. So I became a part of Auburn, which I never thought I would do, having suffered those years in football.
How did you first hear about Union and then decide to come here?
I was living in Auburn at the time. My family was. I had finished 3 degrees from Auburn. The first one, which I was able to do in 1 summer, was a master's in education. And I was doing surveys related to the new math, which was coined about that time, right after Sputnik, I think. I was living in Auburn and had finished the doctorate in math education. I was able to teach at Auburn for 2 years as an instructor. I had a good job there for 2 years, just taught calculus and algebra. The church where I went was a Baptist church in Auburn, and in that church was a person who was graduating from Auburn in student personnel, but he went away to find a job. And when he came back, he said, hey, I put your name in the bucket up at a little school called Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. I said, where in the world is that? And so he showed me on the map. By that time, I had gotten a call from the dean, G. Wayne Brown. Smart, smart man. Already had a doctorate in radio astronomy. My wife and I visited two times with three sons. We stayed in one of the dormitories one visit and then in a motel. That's how I learned about Union. And it took a while to get a good feel for it, but I was very thankful that I had those 2 years in Auburn, which was in the college environment. I wasn't intimidated by college aspect. I was intimidated, though, by the other main teacher at Union had just left end of the preceding year. And I didn't know whether that was bad news or not. He had a great reputation, though, as being an excellent teacher and very demanding teacher. Things just fell into place. I'm very thankful that my family and my friends and associates were all Christians and felt very comfortable in that kind of environment at the school. I didn't know much about a school dedicated to Christian principles, but I didn't have any problem making that adjustment. It wasn't bad at Auburn either, except I got a letter from a staff member in the athletic department mentioning two players who had made D's in Calculus 1 and saying if I could reconsider that and look at that and move that grade up one, then they could become eligible for many more opportunities in their chosen field. I didn't do that.
So when you came to Union, what year was that?
That was 1969.
Okay.
September.
You and Richard Dane come
That's the big part about coming to Union. That just made it work out real, real well. We both came at the same time. We both happened to go to the same church. They had three kids, and we had three kids. Mine were all boys. His were all girls. They never dated one another. I just mention that because it sounds so funny to say that.
Were you two the only math teachers in the department at the time?
We were, except on occasion we would hire a part-time person.
You and Mr. Dane were down there in the north basement with Helen Blythe and Curtis Scott, Eldon Byrd. My dad was down there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Old building, a great old building, and it later burned to my disappointment.
Tell us in a general sense why you think it's important for students to have a knowledge of math.
Mathematics is a method of reasoning, thinking, analyzing, solving situations. The math doesn't solve every situation, but the experience of doing those kinds of studies would be good. To quote a dean of the law school at the University of Alabama, he made the statement, mathematics is probably the best minor for pre-law students. Just the experience of solving problems, which has become a buzzword in lower level mathematics teaching from middle school on up. That's big units in problem solving.
Talk about some of the upper level classes that you taught at Union, what your area of focus is within mathematics and why you enjoyed that.
After working in the basics of mathematics, it's always a pleasure to move up and to see and experience things that you don't know. When you move into the calculus, that's where you really see the power of mathematics to solve varieties of problems in whatever you might be studying. It even helps if you happen to be in an area that requires a lot of statistics. At some point in statistics, the calculus can be applied. Discovering the new things is exciting to every mathematics student. Calculus is the first time that they really get to something new because they've done pre-algebra, arithmetic, algebra 1, algebra 2, senior math, maybe a semester of algebra and trig, and they've done so much of that it's easy for them to say, how am I going to use this? But when they get to the study of motion and the concept of infinity as it relates to mathematics, the various kinds of algebras that exist in the modern algebra, meaning above the algebra of real numbers, arithmetic, that's exciting and easy to appreciate. One of the problems was the height of communications satellites. And we learned that those satellites mostly are about 82,000 miles. But that's just one of the exciting examples that students seem to always really get a kick out. The next thing that we get to teach is the differential equations area of the calculus, which is solving equations using the tools and skills of algebra, but using the concepts and facts of the calculus. And so we would solve equations where the solutions would be functions, perhaps, rather than just numbers. Very exciting and very interesting, and I enjoy teaching all of those. And the differential equations is considered very basic for any engineering, science majors. And so those math students that can work in differential equations ought to do so. They'll be surprised at how easy it is to solve some of those situations.
In addition to your involvement with the math department at Union, you were here when Union got its very first computer, HP 2000 mini computer, and you were here when the first computer science teacher, director of the computer center was hired. Could you tell us some about how you were involved in that process?
When I interviewed for the job with Dean G. Wayne Brown, that was one of the questions I had, because I was already had opportunities of working with computers and had a little part-time job with a professor to figure out how much feed to feed his fish after he would sample them every week. And I had to write programs for that, so used the language Fortran, formula translation. G. Wayne promised me that Union would make every effort possible to get into the application and use of computers throughout the campus. Money, of course, was probably the main problem, but also before Dr. Brown left, about the time we moved to the new campus, a committee was formed to research the type of computer that would best serve our various needs, classrooms, administration, and other functions within the college. I had happened to be the chair of that committee. I'm trying to think who all was on the committee. Dr. Charles Baldwin, he was very helpful and very interested and knowledgeable in the field, and so he made a good member. Mr. Curtis Scott, who was the primary accounting teacher, was on the committee, and of course that was an academic area that would be very interested in the computer. Richard Dane from the math department, another person or two. There was a lady. That committee went to work about 1972. Can you tell me what year we moved to this campus?
I believe it was 1975.
That sounds about enough time. Wow, we had a committee that was very interested in the mission, and it was a pleasure for me to work. First thing we did is decide, could we get a consultant from an academic area? We talked to the director of computing at Vanderbilt. He took the job. He was glad to come. I would sometimes meet him at halfway from here to Nashville if I needed to deliver some reports or projects that we're looking at, and he could work at his home base at Vanderbilt. He really was good for us, and he let us make our decisions, but he was involved in all of them and looking at. The committee identified one of the primary desires to have was interactive computing. Not everybody had that available. IBM did not have it in a very good way at that point. We couldn't use terminals, for example. We got about 8 interested bids. This was monitored by the administration. Burroughs was a major company in that list, and IBM, and of course, Hewlett-Packard, two or three others. We first eliminated three or four. We had a hard time because not everybody thought the same way, but the committee worked together real well. We finally got down to three, and that was Hewlett-Packard, IBM, and Burroughs Business Machine Company. HP won that contract. Before that happened, we hired a person to come in and work with us. We knew we needed a director of computing. Scared Mr. Elliott to death. Mr. Elliott was our business manager, but he was very cooperative. He told me one time he thought that that computer was just going to take over the whole building. He's going to walk in one morning and wouldn't even have an office, he said. Bill then worked with us on those last three companies because he was already hired and here. I don't know how I found out about Bill. Bill Truex is his name.
Bill is a Union graduate.
A Union graduate. But once I got to meet Bill and talk with him, it was just like we had known each other for years. We finally made the conclusion on Hewlett-Packard, and it came here after we moved to this campus. The first year, it was delivered from California, and we thought it would never show up. And I remember we met the truck, we, Bill and I, and we had other staff then working. We hired a young man from Jackson State who was looking for another job as a data processing person. Jackson State helped us also before we got the computer. I would say the community college provided services and a number of things. So it was a good relationship all around. Bill is still remembered by a number of students. He had to teach, of course. He's very knowledgeable, and we miss him a lot still.
Dr. Tucker, when you retired from Union, you remember that we held a banquet in your honor, and many of your former students and colleagues came and spoke about the influence that you had had in their personal and professional lives. I know you're not a person who likes to talk about himself, but can you tell us some how you believe you were put in a position to be an inspiration to so many people?
Every teacher has that opportunity. Union was such a comfortable place for me. I do feel that teaching was the field for me, the field that I believe God had identified for me because things just fell in place so nicely and so well. But in that process of meeting with students, we just had to be like we're taught by Jesus in the Bible, as we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. That's the golden rule, and there's nothing better. There's no reason to ever humiliate or hurt or embarrass a student in the classroom. I did what was normal and natural for me. My family was very pleasant, easygoing. My father, who managed those large number of tenant farmers, he had a lot of things to do for them, and he was well-loved by them, which was easy to see.
One of the main reasons we wanted to talk to you today is because of the scholarship that bears your name. It benefits both the math and computer science students at Union, and to me it's really an ongoing testament to the value that you've placed in education at Union. So what two or three pieces of advice do you have for students who are preparing for their careers?
In mathematics and or computer science, those two fields should use subjects from each other. You know, the math people need to study the computer as much as possible in their process, especially since things change so fast. That's one advice I would say. Be sure and study some in both fields because you have other fields of interest, too, that you would be studying in. That's why we have minors. If some computer science students need the language and skills of algebra, and some the biggest problem that students have in the calculus classes and others, such as modern algebra, is lack of skills in basic algebra.
My last question is this. Similar to the last one, you have been highly respected by the faculty at Union for many years for your wisdom and also for your great wit. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom for the faculty who are teaching in the math and computer science programs now?
Try to keep up with current developments in the fields that you're interested in within both major subjects. And I believe that that is happening more than it was when it was just Mr. Dane and I, because we didn't have much extra time. We did try to use student assistance with paperwork in the offices. Read technical journals in your field. And, of course, related to that then is publishing some things that you have become interested in and developed. Just think back on your graduate studies about how that went for you then. Maybe solve a particular problem, get that published in some of the journals. Be active in continuing to develop and establish the library in both fields.
I want to thank you so much, not just for today, but what you mean to me personally and professionally. You've had a great influence on me, and I know many, many others. When I was writing these questions last night, I was also thinking about words that kept popping into my mind that describe you, and I just want to read some of them to you. Godly, humble, patient, servant, down-to-earth, good-natured, highly respected, compassionate, honorable, a man of integrity, a model husband, father, and grandfather, and most of all, faithful, full of hope and love. And I can say, in all honesty, I don't know anybody that embodies what Union University is about more than you. In my mind, you are the incarnation of being excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, and future-directed. And I hope God blesses you for all of the tremendous service to Union and to our Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you.